Okay, and welcome back. If you go to guests at Rents, look for Harry Cooper. Look under Harry's name. You'll see photos and load them up. That's a gallery, and we're going to go ahead again. Just click on the ones that you want to see, and then click on it again, and it will recede back into the gallery. Now, let's move ahead, Harry, real quickly through this next couple of lines, if we can.
Right, real quick.
Yeah, 825 or 820. Let's say hello to our Russian friends again.
Yeah, Georgi on the left and Evgeny on the right.
Yeah, 823.
823, right. And this is at Oktoberfest. And 822 is Schweinebraten that we're eating at Oktoberfest. And we just have a hell of a good time there. Then we go from there all the way to
By the way, that potato looks very tasty.
It is. It's kind of a foamy potato. It's a potato noodle, and it soaks up the gravy.
Ah, yeah.
And I lose weight when I'm over there because they don't use growth hormones in their stuff. So then after we leave Oktoberfest in that area, we go all the way down to southern Austria, and we take a cruise on the on the Wörthersee, and this A24, that's a private home that I understand had been used for a reality show there in Europe some time ago. Hmm. We don't stop there. We go past it. A25 also, that's on the lake tour. Then A26, we go into the town of Klagenfurt, which is the capital of that area, Carinthia.
Mm-hmm.
And the stone dragon there is the emblem of their city. And the locals there tell me that back in the medieval days, this dragon was actually alive. It roamed all over Europe. But the problem was it could only eat virgins. And when it got to this town of Klagenfurt, the poor thing just starved to death.
Is that a true story?
I don't think it's the mythology? The mythology. Who believes in dragons?
That's funny.
Then we go into some bunkers and tunnels. You look at A27. You slow me down if I'm going too fast here.
No, A27.
This is a compartment for the army that's about 150 feet underground. This is not a World War II bunker. This is a Cold War bunker. We go to this place where there's bunkers and tunnels, all Cold War stuff, and we go through them, and anybody who wants to pay 10 extra euros and take their life in their hand can ride around on an an APC, Armored Personnel Carrier, and this guy only has two speeds, stop to get aboard and balls to the wall across the greensward, jumping and flying through the air, hanging on for dear life.
Oh.
28, this was Evgeny's dream. Look at the size of this guy. He's huge.
Yeah.
He met a veteran from the Waffen-SS. And remember, Evgeny's a Russian. The Russians and the Germans were not the best of friends.
No.
But he respected these guys. And this fellow there that he met is a veteran of the 6th SS. And they got along great. Yesterday's enemies are today's friends. That's our motto.
Well, that's nice that he got to realize his dream.
Oh, and he's coming back again this year.
Very good.
And he said he had looked at other tours and he'd gone on other tours and nobody could get him to meet an SS veteran, a Waffen SS veteran. Mm-hmm. And this is during our fellowship evening. We have a huge big dinner with lots of veterans from all sorts of branches of all sorts of services.
Right, right. Very good. Very good. All right. And there's Admiral Cooper all decked out with one of his girlfriends over there.
Oh, she's such a sweetheart. That's Herta. And she is one of the officials, and you have to have a special pin, which is on my left pocket there, the little shield-looking thing. She makes sure everybody has one of those. Otherwise, you don't get there. It's invitation only, so it's another thing. If you're not with us, you ain't going there. This is the memorial service where they remember everyone who fell in battle, no matter what uniform, no matter what flag, no matter what country, warriors who fell in uniform in battle.
Well, it's a very special event, and it
is.
Probably isn't going to be celebrated all that much longer.
Well, there are not that many veterans left.
But,
of course, outfits like the Spitlickers, the Southern Poverty Law Centers, say it's a Nazi gathering. That's crap. It's warriors. That's what it is. And they remember everybody, no matter what country, everybody who fell in battle. 8:30 is the centerpiece of it.
It's funny how the Spitlickers put that down when their banking relatives are the ones who start all these wars.
That's what I've been told.
And they also don't mention that 300,000 to 400,000 German Jews fought in the German military for Germany in the war.
Well, one of our members who's now passed on, who was a good friend of mine, Helmut Schmuckel, he was half Jewish. His father was a Jew. He was in command of a combat submarine for Germany.
There you go.
And I've been in cemeteries, Jewish warrior cemeteries.
Right.
Everybody in there was a Jewish combat soldier for Germany.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but anyhow.
Not to the Spitlickers. Oh, no. It never happened. It's a lie. It probably...
No, of course. They'll do whatever they can to keep the cash register ringing. They raise about $50 million a year by pointing fingers at people.
From the dumb goyim who give them their money.
Whatever. And don't count on me making any comments. I got to go back to Germany.
No. Harry is completely at odds with my position on these things. He doesn't want to go
there. And A31, that's Heinz Pfister. He was... 30-something years in the German merchant marine post-war.
Mm-hmm.
And he's head of the, what is it, the Marine Kameradschaft, the Navy League, more or less.
Very good.
And on the Saturday at lunchtime, we go there to their Kameradschaft, and again, invitation only, and we just have a lot of fun hanging out with guys, and of course they have people make boring speeches that nobody cares about, so we just stick to our food. You get hot dogs, not sausages, you get hot dogs, and either beer or Coke.
Seems almost sacrilegious, hot dogs.
Yeah, it's hot dogs, yeah, American things.
Anyway, all right.
The next one now, then we go, this is a place not even known to many people. There's a valley, and this whole valley was run by the Waffen-SS during the war. It's on a lake called Mondsee, which means Moon Lake. And it was an R&R facility for the Waffen-SS. In A32, that's called Steinkreuz, the cross and a stone, and there's a story behind it, which... we don't have time to go into it. A33 was a hospital for the wounded Waffen-SS veterans.
Mm-hmm.
A34 is the oldest wooden church in Austria. And A35 is
How old? Approximately.
I'll have to ask next time, but it's mighty old. These paddles in there are remembering the men from that church who were killed overseas and their bodies never came home.
Huh.
And we posted this in our KTB magazine, which you get. And doggone, we got an email from one of our members, a lady. She took her first communion in that church at age 8.
Yeah, remarkable.
Yeah. Then we go into some of the huge tunnels that the Third Reich built into the mountain. They were getting bombed. They couldn't keep anything above ground, so they were building factories inside the mountains, and that's Evgeny and his father, Georgi.
This is in Austria.
In Austria, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We go into this tunnel complex, and we're trying to get authorization to go into one of them. There's 8 of these tunnels. Most of them are not open to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one of them, we understand there is still a train in the tunnel. No, it's not full of Nazi gold, like the loonies all think everything is Nazi gold. There was
there's a German transport train in a tunnel in that mountain.
That's correct. They would come in, they had a rail spur that went into the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
one of the tunnels, and they would unload whatever material they brought in. And,
sure.
And in this particular factory, they were making brakes and brake drums for German trucks. So they were bringing in the material and taking out the brakes and brake drums. But the war ended, and they left the train in there, and somebody dynamited the entrance to where you got to really know your way in.
Well, I hope you can get in there. That would be fun.
We're going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know me. If it says Ein Gang verboten, that means there's something I got to see.
Okay. Now, how about getting one of your tour members to make some video of this tour to memorialize it? What are we thinking about that now?
Yeah, we're working on that. By the time we're done with it, we'll probably have half a dozen 2-hour DVDs out of this, because it's a lot of history to pack into here.
Sure.
So we're working on that. I want somebody that's going to be there videotaping everything.
And this is very important. So if you're going on the tour and you happen to have a little talent with a video camera, just the basics, how to set up a scene, you know, talk
know.
To Harry, and maybe there'd be some special arrangement made to help you on the trip. That'd be fun. All right. We want to see this on video for sure.
Then we go from there up to back into Bavaria to the Berchtesgaden area. And one of the days in Berchtesgaden, we go back over the border into Austria. And that in 37 and 38, that's the castle at Salzburg. And those who want to can go up to the castle. This is primarily a souvenir shopping deal so that everybody can buy whatever stuff they want. We have lunch there. But up in the castle, this thing is huge. This thing is so huge that each one of the bastions had its own name, had its own little village, soldiers and their wives and, and the butchers and the bakers, all in each little bastion.
Hmm.
And A38 is just some of the medals and stuff that are on display inside, which I know nothing about. Then, look at 839 and 40. We go into the bunker system underneath the Hotel Zum Türken, which is probably the best preserved bunker system of any. This Hotel Zum Türken used to house the switchboard. This was on the Obersalzburg, and it's less than 100 yards from Hitler's home, the Berghof. And it had the switchboard for all the houses and facilities on the mountain. That was in the garage. And in the hotel, that's where Hitler's personal bodyguard stayed.
Uh-huh.
And down here underneath, now we're looking at 100, 120 feet down under the ground. Tunnels, there are 3-4 levels of the tunnels, and we're going in them. And in 39...
How do you get down there? They have an elevator now, or is it all steps?
No, you go down a spiral staircase and then down a slope.
And this is where the telecommunications center was for this whole area.
In the garage. This is underground shelters.
Mm.
On the left side there, it says it's an emergency exit to the machine gun stand. And on the right, number 4, says this is the dog kennel, Hundeswinger.
Hmm.
And you're looking at 90 or 100 feet under the ground.
Mm.
A-40 is another one down deep underground. These are not tunnels that you crawl through on your belly. These are well-engineered concrete lined, and under the floor you've got the piping and the electric cables.
Yeah.
And ventilation and very
again,
high
this
degree
is where
engineering.
Hitler and Eva Braun had their home, and And who were the other people that had homes there? A lot of big shots.
Well, the tunnel went underneath Hitler's home because this was also an air raid shelter. And in 40, you'll see where it's bricked up. I see it. Bavarian government came right to the property line and bricked it up to where you can't go through from the Zumturken. And this leads towards Hitler's tunnel. We see his bunker door from the outside. We go right up to it, knock on it, and like that. It also went under the homes of Bormann and Goering and under various other important places, but it's been bricked off. You can only go along under the property of the Zumturken because you're not supposed to go in them other places. They say it's a safety issue.
Wow.
Horse feathers.
Yeah. Okay. Now, back to this amazing stainless steel. Is that chrome?
I was told it was chrome, but one of our members said, no, that's not possible. So I'm trying to find the curator over there. That's, for those who don't know World War II aircraft, that's an American, North American B-25 Mitchell bomber. And if you drink Red Bull, you're helping keep this thing in shape because Red Bull, I was surprised.
Yeah,
it's
that is
an American
amazing
company.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Right, it's an Austrian company. And they've got this hangar, and they've got this B-25. They've also got a P-38 Lightning, the only operational P-38 Lightning in all of Europe. They've got an F-4U.
Is that chromed also?
The Lightning is also the same. Mm-hmm. Then they've also got a Corsair, a U.S. Navy Corsair from the war. And they've got Soviet jet fighters all over the place. They've got race cars. They got all sorts of stuff in there. So we go there, spend a day there. They've also got a snack bar that's got some great ice cream. Then, of course, we have to go to the Eagle's Nest. Yeah, that's A-42. And that's our troops eating in the main hall that used to be just with chairs and tables around it for a meeting hall. And only Hitler and his group were allowed up there. There's a lower floor with a special room where Eva Braun would go with her girlfriends. There's another room where the guards would stay. The guards couldn't even take the same elevator as Hitler and his people. They had to take their own elevator.
You mean there are two elevators up there?
That's correct. So we go here and we have our lunch here. And you look out the windows, you can see forever. Up there, if you got a good clear day, you can see the castle at Salzburg, which is 20, 30 kilometers away. You can see it clearly.
Well, what the most amazing thing about this to me is that this is on the top of a mountain.
Yep.
It's not a big, broad area. It's right nestled up there on the top.
Yep.
And the elevator, two of them, that go straight down, how far down do they go again, Harry? They go a long way.
They go a long way. You start out down at the base by the Hotel Zumturken or in that area where the SS Caserne had been before they bulldozed it. And you take a specially geared bus up and up and up. Your ears are popping, and you go, I'm guessing probably 5,000 feet up. You look over the side, and you know if you fell, it would take you probably 20 minutes to hit the ground. It's a long way up. Then you get to the parking place up there, and it's another, I think, 100 meters up in the elevator. And we go up in the same elevator.
That's 300 feet. That's as long as a football field.
Yeah, probably more like 300 meters. Or 100 meters would be about 300 feet.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is they built this elevator through solid mountain rock.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... who made the decision to keep this still intact and not blow it up like they did everything else?
I suspect it was people who have a financial interest in it, because we figure they bring in a good $10,000, $20,000 per day. So they decided it wasn't Nazi, so we won't blow it up. Well, now they can't blow it up because it was built during the Third Reich.
So can you imagine, Harry, honestly, if they had simply the foresight and not this cruel animal destructiveness to preserve this area and all the homes of all the bigwigs and and the German government
and
during the war.
Style.
Can you imagine the money?
They would have
history.
Had so much money.
Actually, what they ought to do is rebuild the homes that they have destroyed. All the architectural plans are there for most of them, and they could be rebuilt, and they'd have this whole, and then the tunnel system,
the history
of it is extraordinary.
And, well, they also had to build the road up there, too.
That's right.
And these were contrary to popular propaganda that these were all slave laborers, forced labor. No, they weren't. These were highly skilled hard rock miners and engineers that built that. You don't want to have just some farmer who's being flogged to build your road up the side of a mountain. It just doesn't
ridiculous.
Work.
Ridiculous.
These guys were all highly skilled. Now, if you look at 43, this is between the Eagle's Nest and up higher yet, about another 100 yards up, there's a monument. Well, halfway up, you see this flat block of concrete with an iron post sticking up in it and another round flat thing. This is after you go around a barricade. The 20-millimeter and the 37-millimeter anti-aircraft guns were all up here. But, of course, they've taken the guns away.
And you're not supposed to go out there?
No, you're not. And if you look closely down at the lower right-hand corner of the picture, you know, 6 inches off the walkway, if you slip, you're on your way to meet St. Peter.
Got it.
Because you're going to drop like 6,000 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, and when you land, it's not going to be pleasant. I fell off my roof. And I was unconscious for 10 minutes. And
you jumped off of your roof.
Yeah, right. And I spent 3 days in a hospital. I don't even remember. So,
I can't remember. Did you call me from the hospital?
No, I don't even remember being in the hospital.
You called me from home.
Yeah, after I got out of the hospital. My wife told me I had 3 full meals every day. I don't remember any of them.
Well... All right, we're going to keep going. I want to get these pictures all in. So thanks. Thanks our sponsors, as always. Thanks to you.
We love your sponsors. Incidentally, when I was coming down with this flu that was going around, you sent me some Allison C. Boy, that knocked out the flu right away.
It is the best thing on the planet that I know of to keep people healthy. And
my wife didn't want to take it, and she got whacked with the flu for about 4 weeks. She's still coughing. I took the Allison C. Bingo. I didn't have any problems at all. Thank you for sending it.
You're welcome.
Then,
okay.
While we're there, we also take a boat ride on Königssee, which means the King's Lake, and that's in 44. Electric-powered boats, and we go through the mountains, and a beautiful view.
Well, this is in Germany, near Austria.
That's correct. It's in Bavaria, very close to the Austrian border. Just incredible beauty over there. Now, here's the fun part where we shift in gears.
Yes, we're going down to another part of the world.
South America. Did you get my email in which I told you I heard from Martine?
Yes, and I can't wait to find out what you heard from Martine, so I'm going to call you at the top of the next hour, and we'll talk for 5 minutes or so.
Okay. Positive stuff. Good news from Martine. Not quite the good news we were looking for, but still.
All right. Don't torment me here. I'll call you.
I can read it to you now if you want. It's very short. Hi, Harry. Two hours ago, I talked with Luis, the actual caretaker. This is Hitler's estate we're talking about. A very kind man. He does not know about the boatman, but he says we can go to Hitler's estate, take pictures and films. There's no problem. And we can go there. He will receive us. We are welcome. And he said, I am close to finding the boatman.
Okay, good. Let's say no more. We got to
keep
this.
More.
Keep this. That's fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah.
All right, good job. You're halfway there.
So far, so good.
Yeah. All right, this is a big thing we've been working on, folks.
Yep. And we'll announce it first here on Rents Radio when we have something to announce.
All right, and this, if it plays out, we're going to have something that will shake history.
What do you mean, if? I'm not used to failure here, Pip.
All right. Got it. When we do it, and we've got a tremendous goal here, and it's going to happen. All right, very good. Now, we have about 24 minutes to go through the remainder of the pictures, so let's move ahead here.
B1. This is as we were, we're doing this again, not my Southern Patrol. This is me on an expedition
right.
with friends down there in South America. I'm going again in May. B1 is as we're going into Paraguay. It's a beautiful country.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously primitive, but it's a beautiful country. B2 and B3, this is what we're going for. We know that somebody who was very, very high up in the Reich, and we're not going to say who right now, buried a large chest of something in that marshy stuff there that looks like a Florida swampland, B2, B3. No, it's not Nazi gold, and we know there's no Nazi gold in it, but it'll be kind of like a time capsule. And this was somebody very high up in the Reich.
Are you going to try to get rights to excavate there?
Yeah, my friend down there, Franco, he's already gotten that done with the guy who owns the property.
Ah, very good.
Sit on this guy a little bit because he explained, he told too much when we were there last July, I think. He told this guy what was there. Oh, geez, the guy jumps up, he's going to run right out and get a backhoe. You can't do that. You can't get a backhoe, for God's sake. You'll just destroy whatever you're digging up.
Wow.
So we have a friend here who is a professional treasure hunter, and he's got a metal detector, but not one of these fancy ones that you see that goes down 3, 4, 5 feet. This one goes down 20 and 30 feet.
All right, you're going to find it.
We know approximately where it is. We have that map that was drawn by back in the war years.
We're going to go aerial photographs of it too.
Uh-huh. Yep, you remember.
I do.
But then we'll probably also go, let's see, B4, B5. That's that resort where Mengele used to hide out.
And others, with no name. That is
no
out
names.
In the middle of nowhere.
Oh, it's in the middle of nowhere. The beautiful place. Huge place. Looked like, my guess, it had over 100 rooms. There was nobody in the place when we were there. There was one other couple in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
That's amazing.
How do you keep a place like that open if you don't have people coming in there? But anyhow, that was where Mengele used to like to hide out.
They had meetings there. They had gatherings, obviously, of very highly ranked people.
You betcha. You betcha. So we'll probably be going back that way, take more photos, videos.
Harry's Hideaway.
Harry's Hideaway. Boy, oh, boy, that's quite a place. But it's in Paraguay. And like I say, it's a seriously backwards country. It's beautiful, but it's primitive. So,
right.
And then in B6 and the one next to it that I apparently forgot to put a B7 on it. Not sure I did. Anyhow, I'm not going to go into much detail there because I got my butt in a jam last time I said something about it. But a very high-ranking member of the Third Reich lived there until his death.
Right.
And the house has been closed up since he died. And my friend Lawrence DeMello down there is getting...
Okay, enough. Right,
thank you. You can see me stumbling for words. Anyhow, We are not looking for anybody to join us on this expedition because it's an expedition. On the patrol, we got room for up to 40 people. Go to sharkhunters.com, look under tours, all the information is there. And if you want a free electronic copy of our magazine, go to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, that's our email address, and say you heard the show and you want a free copy of the current magazine, and we'll get it out to you right
magazine.
Away.
Great, great. It's a wonderful publication. I don't know how you do all this stuff. I do know because I do similar, but.
That's right. You go to bed about 3 o'clock in the morning, my time. That's about the time I'm getting into my, office here. And I work
we often pass each other
in
email at that time. I'm getting ready to wind down and Harry's getting up.
Yeah. I work from about 3 a.m. on until about 6 p.m. And I get a lot done in the morning. And like I say, I don't get paid for it. People say, what's wrong with you? You should be retiring down there in Florida. What, and play golf? That's a punishment.
No.
Sorry to all you golfers
out there.
Doesn't
work that way. Doesn't work that way.
I played golf once. It was the biggest waste of a morning I ever put in.
It's 20 times harder than it looks. That's one of its problems.
Well, it's a lot harder, that's for sure.
Paraguay. Don't forget about Paraguay. What about Paraguay? Why did George Bush buy 300,000 acres in Paraguay?
Because it was cheap?
George W. Bush. No. Well,
yeah,
yes.
Got
but,
that big aquifer there.
They're on the biggest aquifer in Paraguay.
Yeah. I also heard, I don't know how accurate it is, I haven't checked it out, that Angela Merkel has bought a pile of property right next to him.
Yeah.
Whether
the ground
that's true
opens
or not,
up and swallows
know.
Her.
I don't even care.
A wretched, wretched human being.
Well, she's not a very nice person, but of
that's
course,
what
rumors
I just said.
Now that
wretched human being.
She was Hitler's daughter, which is ridiculous, and she was cloned from Hitler. No, that's not true either.
She did come up in a nursery, apparently, or an orphanage as a child. And that is supposedly
true.
Yeah, but
well after the war was over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I remember, I offered to send you nude pictures of her when she was 18, and you said, nope, you don't want to post them.
Yeah, but I have them, but I'm not going to post them.
I'm just winding you up. Her and her two girlfriends just coming out of the lake.
All right, enough of this. Now,
enough of that.
We're going to go now to some historic pictures, all right? That's the first black and white picture.
Yeah, you put all these up here, so you're going to have to lead us along here.
Well, the first picture is of a very famous residence, not far from the Eagle's Nest. That is the Berghof.
That's Hitler's Berghof, Hitler's home.
That's Hitler's home. You'll see, very on the bottom, you'll see the garage doors open. That's where the big Mercedes was.
Yep. That Kempka always drove for him.
Yeah.
And up there are the great steps, and those great steps are still there today, except they're covered with tons of dirt.
And the road coming to the right is coming uphill from the right, hooks around,
mm-hmm.
and the driveway going on up. This would be in probably the late 30s, mid to late 30s.
They started putting the expansions on it.
Right. They added
it
to
would,
it.
Kempka would come down the driveway, make a hard left, and the road there has been widened. It looks like it's got a tumor. The road is widened there so that he didn't have to do a forward, back up, and then forward again. This way he could turn a big Mercedes without having to zigzag.
3-point turn.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's Hitler's residence, his home. And if that were still there now, just think of the money that the German government would be pulling in, just allowing people to tour it if they had been smart enough to leave the damn thing alone. No, they weren't. Next picture, I'll take these.
Go ahead.
Now, you give me the details on what we're looking at, but this, the flag is there. Hitler is walking down. He's waving to people. He's coming down the driveway. There are a lot of people down below, and he's waving at them. He's coming down.
Yep. People so, used to come out there on Saturdays and Sundays by the thousands.
Next picture shows what he was walking down to. The locals and others who would come there. This was set up, I guess, in a certain time on a weekend where they could come up, and if he were there, he was there, he'd come down and mingle a little bit.
He didn't wear body armor, and he didn't have guards around him.
No, no. Nope. So there you go. That's what he was looking at when he was waving. Okay. And the next one is when he is down there mingling with them. You'll see the house, the Berghof behind him. And there he is, smiling at the camera. I have a hunch Ava Braun might have been taking these pictures.
I don't know.
She had an album of photos, her own photos, that were found.
Yeah, I saw that was being auctioned off, right?
That's right. It was auctioned off. It was found in the bunker, left behind after they were extracted. And I forget who got it, but they broke open a dresser, and there was this album in there. And these pictures were in the album. Now, whose pictures would be in Ava Braun's personal album beside pictures that she took herself? She took these pictures. These were her pictures. And you can see the people, the adulation, and what Hitler did for Germany in the 30s got him on the cover of Time magazine 4 times.
Yeah.
Man of the Year. Understand,
Man of the Year, right.
This was an extraordinary accomplishment, the recovery from the Treaty of Versailles, the attempt by the Bolshevik communist Zionists to take Germany down in the 20s, late 20s, and then Hitler came along and put Germany back together again like Humpty Dumpty. He did it. The German people rose and recovered the biggest economic and financial and social and infrastructure recovery in history that we know about. And it happened in 10 years. Just round it off. 10 years. The German people rose to the occasion. All they needed was inspiration to be told that they could do it. And here's another picture now of Hitler smiling and the people smiling. And you see the people, how they look. They were proud not only to be near Hitler, but proud of their country, what they had done for it. They had thrown away and thrown off the most heinous reparations, the Treaty of Versailles from World War I, and they were free. And you see the result in the faces of these people. They're reflecting true happiness, patriotism, love of country, and respect for their leader. And there, here they are up, getting a chance to actually see him.
And like I say, you don't see any armed guards around him at all.
No, no. Okay, the next pictures, we have about 8 or 10, 12 more to go. The next picture is of the inside of the Berghof, the inside of the house. Tell us more about that house, Harry. Look at the ceiling in that. Beautiful. It was an older house. Hitler bought it. It wasn't new. He didn't have it built. It was already existing when he purchased it.
It was quite old when he got in there. He rented it first when he was climbing to power. It was called House Bachenfeld. I guess the owner was named Bachenfeld. And he leased it, and then he bought it. And then they added on wings with offices and stuff.
Right.
And the two pictures you see there on that row, the first two pictures, that's the interior, the study, the office, whatever you want to call it.
Right, a grand piano there? Right there in the middle, on the right. Yeah, it's a grand piano.
Yeah, okay. Well.
I have a magnifying glass, you don't.
No, I got a big screen, though. That's a piano. Yeah, it's a grand piano. I don't know who played the piano, but...
Well, they'd have people come, and they'd probably have piano music in the background when they were entertaining.
Could be.
And so forth.
And then the next one, of course, that's the outer part of his Berghof.
Wait, we got to look at the other picture of the inside. I want people to look at the ceiling on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's extraordinary. And paintings on the walls.
Right.
Some of which may have been Hitler's own. He was a very good painter, as many of you know. If you don't think so, just do a search for Adolf Hitler art and look at his paintings.
It was pretty good. I've seen some of the pictures.
No, they're very
Madonna
good.
Madonna and Child is one of his best.
Yeah.
Interesting subject for a man who supposedly hated God. But anyhow, I won't get into that.
Nope. Okay, so the next picture is an exterior shot of the Berghof. This would be down in what you call the courtyard, looking up.
I would guess.
There would be the big deck up there, the big patio with the view, and the garage.
Yeah, in that part of Germany and also Austria, where it butts up to that, they always have these big railings up mm-hmm. there, loaded with flowers, fresh flowers. They always had flowers growing up there.
Hmm.
Beautiful area, just mm-hmm. incredible beauty.
On the left, you see in that picture is the, I'm virtually positive, the back of the garage, the backside. It's shaped like a garage, and I think the other end of it would be the door.
I'll take your word for it.
Now, these pictures, we think, were taken by Ava Braun. They were auctioned off, and they found in this photo album in the bunker, and auctioned off for, I think, $360,000 or something like that.
Well, a lot of money, sure.
Yeah.
This stuff is rare.
History. The next picture that was in Ava Braun's photo album is obviously later on in the war years, 42, 43, maybe 44. And they put up a gate, and they have a guard at the gate, whereas before, you notice, they didn't have one.
Chain-link fence with barbed wire on it, too, there.
Yeah. So this would have been 42, 44, something like that.
Yeah. Maybe they knew Tom Cruise was coming to blow him up.
Yeah. Or they remembered about Heydrich and what happened to him.
Oh, yeah. That's another whole long story.
Yeah. Okay, the next row, next to last row of pictures, is a picture up on the deck of part of the house somewhere, and you see the bench with no pads, and you see the easy chair with pads for the boss, who was reading, looking at something. And you see, even then, though, in the mountains, they had mist and fogs and clouds and overcast, and they weren't always crystal clear picture days.
That was a beautiful area.
It's gorgeous. Next picture is a rather sad. I wasn't going to put it in there, but it is history, and that's what we're all about here. This is what the Allies did to the Berghof. And some of you
Brits
listening.
Mostly.
Excuse me, the Brits? Yeah.
Yeah, the Brits. They did a bomber Harris sent over a bombing raid about a week, maybe a week and a half before the German surrender.
Right.
I mean, Germany was ready to surrender. There was no reason to do this. He knew, you know, he can't say that he was trying to kill Hitler because Hitler was in Berlin at the time. It was just meanness, I think. Bomber Harris was not a very nice guy, and I'm betting that he's roasting in hell right now.
He sure should be. He killed an awful lot of innocent people.
Yeah, just because.
Just because.
Yeah.
So you look at the house. Again, a week and a half before the war is over. The structure of the house is still intact. It could have been saved, restored, and kept as a piece of history. Look at the cars.
We've got a DVD where one of our people went in there with video cameras in 1988, and they went all through this house, Goering's house and Bormann's house, and they were still standing. They were damaged. All through it and down into the cellar. That's all in one of our DVDs.
So this house was not destroyed immediately at the end of the war. I want people to understand that.
Right. It stayed like this in its bashed up state until about middle 1990s, I think, when the U.S. Army pulled out and gave control of the mountain back to the Bavarian government, because up until that time, that whole area belonged to the U.S. Army.
Right.
And when they pulled out, bang, zoom, here come the bulldozers.
You look at the cars in the courtyard, several destroyed cars. They came very close to that house with the bombs.
Yeah. Yeah, them cars are used up, as we used to say in the race days.
Mm-hmm.
Take more than Bondo to get them things working again.
So anyway, there it is. What year was the thing finally leveled? Do you remember?
in the middle 90s, I believe. And now the only thing, they let the trees grow up and everything, of course, and the only thing left is the retaining wall along the back that would keep the mountain from sliding down. And if you know where to look, and if you're skinny and you're a risk taker, there are little window-type openings in the, buried in the side of the mountain there where you can slide down into the cellar.
So of the house?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm told.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there it is. Okay, and the next picture again is another one. But the house, think about it. It stood from 1945, after the war ended, until the 90s. Why tear it down? It's a piece of history. This doesn't make any sense to me.
They're tearing down the Confederate monuments here in the United States.
It's all madness.
Meant to destroy your heritage, so
correct.
I've been told.
Yeah. All right, here's another picture of the house, color picture, and I can only guess, Harry, that this is, you see the driveway going up. There's no garage on it
that
I can see. This is an early picture of the house, probably from the early mid-30s. He had it for 10 years, I think. So this
something
would
like that.
Have been a very early picture before the additions were made. And just beautiful location. Look at the next picture. From behind and above, looking across this enormous, beautiful vista.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous over there. Like I say, you can't take a bad photo.
You see the logging going on across the way on that other mountain over there.
Right. And down in the lower areas, they have pastures. And even today, when we used to stay up there on the Zumturken, in the early morning, you'd hear the clanking of the cowbells. Sometimes you could hear an elk making noise, whatever they bleating or braying or whatever they call them. Bugling, that's what it is.
Coopering, isn't it?
Whatever, something like that.
All right. The next picture. You'll see the garage. All right, take a look there. You can compare that picture with the earlier one from the 30s. And there's no garage. You can see how they added that. Enlarge that one. Take that one down, and then enlarge the one with the garage, which I think had a deck on it too. No,
I think
remember.
It did have a deck.
So there you go. Okay, and then we have another picture.
What's
it's a black and white picture of the house.
Yeah, that's the final gate. There were security levels all up the mountain, and this was the final security post. And the structure is gone, but the foundation you see there, it's still there, and we'll see it.
So you're going right up that road?
Yeah, we are.
Very good. And the final picture is pretty much a repeat of the other one, just to give you an idea of what it looked like.
Yeah,
at
it's interesting because the other one was a Getty photo, and this one I got from my friend Manfred Roeder, who was called the most radical right-winger in all of Germany.
Right.
Dangerous man. He looked like a Sunday school teacher, for Christ's sake. But he's now passed on. He died a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this photo from him, so I don't know who got it first.
Didn't he know Lady...
Lady Michelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I met Lady Michelle, is through him.
Lady Michelle... Go ahead.
Yeah, Lady Michelle Renouf, and she bought his huge, big home up in central Germany near Schwarzenborn, which incidentally is the home of Rotkäppchen in German. You and I know it better as Little Red Riding Hood. That's where that fairy tale came from. But the house he had was a huge big stone house, 20 rooms, which was used as a stagecoach stop way back in the early days of whatever stagecoaches. And he used to have party gatherings and everything there. And I personally hung the huge, big, heavy drapes across various doorways to help him save on his heating bill in the winter, because it was just him and his wife and kids living there.
Uh-huh.
They didn't need the whole place open. And then when he died, Lady Michelle Renouf bought the place. And, of course, the government is not her best buddy.
And no.
She was trying to have gatherings for the summer solstice or the winter solstice. And she provided the food and the ceremonies and all that, and a huge big fire out on the pasture. And mm-hmm. she was having people pay a few bucks, I don't know what it was, 50 or 100 bucks, to attend and stay there three or four nights, eat there. And the government popped up and said, you're not a registered hotel. You can't do this. So she and I were trying to get something going for the summer solstice this year, but we just never got it put together on time. So maybe next year, I don't know.
What is she doing now?
I don't know. I haven't gotten an answer back from my emails from her lately.
Well, tell her hello from me if you get another one through to her.
Okay, will do. She doesn't live there. I think she still lives in England.
Mm-hmm.
Very ultra wealthy.
Yes, she's been on the program a couple of times.
Right. Nice lady.
Very.
But she's very right-wing, and she's attached herself to Richard, what the heck is his last name? He's a Brit.
Branson.
He's ultra right-wing.
Is it Richard Branson?
No.
That guy's the other end of the spectrum. What am I saying?
Yeah. No, I can't remember this guy's name, but he used to be a school teacher, and he's just so damn boring. He talks like this, and all the time waving his hand around. Looks like he's got a bunch of bananas for fingers. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. He's probably listening. Oh, well. But anyhow, she has aligned herself with him, and she's very right-wing herself. And so, of course, that's not all welcome over there in Germany.
Not even like it was 15, 20 years ago. It's changed so much.
It's changing. It's changing a lot.
Yeah. All right, this is your last chance, dear friends. If you're thinking at all about this, don't think anymore. Make the move, sign up, and go.
SharkHunters.com.
This is your last chance.
Tours. Yeah, and send in a $500 deposit. That will lock you in, and if you change your mind up until the middle of July, just get your money back, and that's it.
Oh, very good.
After the middle of July, you're locked in.
Okay, good. Very good. All right, my friend, thank you. That was a very good tour. In a pictorial sense, and we got to look at some other things as well. There's a lot in the future that is pending and now looking a little bit more than pending, maybe scheduling.
Get things done here.
Yeah, well, I'm pushing hard as much as I can from over here.
I appreciate that. Your listeners can go to sharkhunters.com, click on tours, and then they can send an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, say they listen to the show, and we'll send them a free copy of the magazine electronically. No charge, no strings attached.
Very good. All right, sir. Have a good night's sleep. Thank you for staying up late. Talk to you soon. And, yeah, let's talk soon, maybe tomorrow or the next day. I want to find
Sounds
out more
like a
about
plan.
This.
Yeah, I'll catch you probably about mid-afternoon my time, which will be around lunchtime your time.
Very good. All right, thanks. Take care.
All righty. Take care, guy.
All right. Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. And do think about going on this tour. All right. We'll be right back with more.